Hello and welcome to another short audio version of the service, which has been recorded for Sunday the 2nd of May. I hope that you will know God's blessing and that he will be glorified during this short service. Let us pause now for a moment to refocus our minds by reading from God's word. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. These words from Luke's account of the Last Supper remind us, if needs be, of what Christ did for us. He sacrificed himself to pay the price of our sins. So as we worship him today, let us dwell upon this amazing feat. Let us now come before Almighty God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this day and for this opportunity to worship you. Lord, we thank you for all that you give us on a daily basis with regards to health, strength and material needs. On that basis alone, O Lord, you deserve to be worshipped. But Lord, everything that you give us in this material realm is eclipsed by what you have done for us through Jesus Christ. Through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we are reminded by the elements spread before us of the cost that your Son, our Saviour, paid for the forgiveness of our sins. Heavenly Father, we cannot begin to even fathom the enormity of that cost, nor can we truly fathom why you would do such a thing, given that we are so undeserving. As your word declares, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Heavenly Father, forgive us therefore for treating Christ's sacrifice as though it was no big deal, that forgiveness is a formality and that we are entitled to it. Forgive us for treating you with contempt when we say that we are sorry to you whilst our hearts remain unrepentant. Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, forgive us, we pray, for all the ways in which we have sinned, in thought, word, and deed. Forgive us for the sins we have committed in ignorance or in the spur of the moment, and for the sins we have committed deliberately, knowing full well what we were doing. Lord, help us this day to turn from our sinful ways and to surrender our lives to Christ, so that by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we may be transformed into people who honour you. And hear this, our prayer we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. We are now going to hear from God's word. So if you have your Bibles at hand, can I encourage you to open them at our reading, which is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, where we will begin reading at verse 17. So that is Matthew, chapter 26, where we will begin reading at verse 17. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover? He said, Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, The teacher says, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, Is it I, Lord? He answered, He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Judas, who would betray him, answered, Is it I, Rabbi? He said to him, You have said so. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and, after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And we end our reading there at verse 30, and thank God for this reading from his truth. We're going to pray once again this time with a prayer of intercession, so let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you in prayer, once again we take this opportunity now to remember the nation of India before you. Heavenly Father, the news reports from there with regards to COVID-19 infections and deaths are truly frightening. We pray, O Lord, for the government of India as they try to deal with this. Grant them the wisdom and resources they need to treat the many thousands who are being infected daily, and also put in place effective measures to curb the spread of this virus in the population. We pray for the international aid effort and ask that the supplies sent would get to where they are most needed. We pray for the healthcare staff who have quite simply been overwhelmed. Help them to stay focused, O Lord, despite their exhaustion. And may they get the resources they desperately need to treat the sick under their care. May they also, O Lord, be protected from this virus themselves. We pray, Lord, for the tens of thousands who have been bereaved and ask that you would comfort them in their grief. At home here, O Lord, we continue to pray that the measures our government have put in place will continue to be effective at bringing down the infections and deaths from COVID-19. May our healthcare service be able to get back up and running effectively again and be given the resources they need to deal with the huge number of people on waiting lists. We pray for our young people in full-time education. Protect them and their teachers and their families from this virus, we pray, so that their studies are not interrupted by having to isolate. Help them to recover ground that was lost during the last lockdown. We thank you for our teachers, teaching assistants and school staff who have worked so diligently over lockdown to provide lessons for our young people. Bless them as they continue this vital task now in person. Finally, O Lord, we pray for your church here in Clogher and Glenhoy. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be salt and light to those living in darkness around us. Help us to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray too for those of our number who are unwell at present. Heal them, we pray, and grant them, along with their loved ones, your reassurance. These things we ask in our Saviour's name. Amen. The first Sunday in May is traditionally one of the two occasions within the Presbyterian tradition that we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And to help us reflect upon this, we are looking at Matthew's account of the last meal Jesus had with his disciples before he was betrayed to the authorities and crucified. The backdrop to that night is explained in the verses that immediately precede this passage, and therein we learn that the Jewish religious authorities held a meeting to discuss how they could arrest Jesus without inciting the people to riot. It must have seemed like an impossibility, given the rapturous reception that Jesus had received when he entered Jerusalem. But then, against all of their expectations, Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' inner circle, one of his closest friends, had approached them and volunteered his services, volunteered to betray Jesus. So it is upon having told us this information that Matthew goes on to recount his memories of that evening, which itself set the context for the events that followed. The Last Supper helps to explain why what happened did so. Firstly, we see that Christ revealed it was all part of God's plan. In verse 18, we see that Jesus, when giving instructions about the preparations for the Passover meal, referred to how his appointed time was near. In verse 21, Jesus told his disciples that one of them would betray him to the authorities. And in verse 24, he made reference to the fact that the events which would follow had been predicted in Scripture. All of these things, along with others that Jesus had previously mentioned, emphasized the fact that what was about to happen to him was all part of God's plan, and that it would happen in accordance with that plan. Although the authorities thought they were in the driving seat, as it were, they were merely facilitating what God had already ordained. This, however, does not excuse the actions of the religious authorities or indeed Judas Iscariot. God is not the author of sin. He does not incite or force people to commit sin. God's providence and sovereignty do not undermine mankind's free will. Although, with our limited human viewpoint, we may see these two things as contradicting each other. But the Bible does not. It teaches us about both of them and holds them in perfect tension. It is therefore something that we have to recognize we will never comprehend, and instead, because God's word declares it, simply ask the Lord to help us accept it. The people who rejected Christ, including Judas Iscariot, chose of their own free will to do so. And when they did, God gave them over to their sin. It was, therefore, because of their rejection of and hatred towards Christ that some of them facilitated the fulfillment of God's plan. Someone once said that when people reject God, which is what we do when we reject our need of Christ, God, being the perfect gentleman that he is, steps out of their way, as it were, and lets them have what they want. If our heart's desire is to live without God, then he lets us have what we want, and therefore we have no one to blame but ourselves when we face the consequences of our sin. We may believe that God has no justifiable reason to condemn us now, but when we stand before him in all of his holiness and glory, as all of us will, we will all recognize our sinfulness and his absolute right to condemn us. Jesus' disciples may have been caught completely off guard by the events in the hours that followed the Last Supper, but Jesus was not. He was not a helpless victim of circumstances that spiraled out of control, but rather, he willingly subjected himself to them in order to carry out God's plan of salvation. It was a plan first spoken of in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, after Adam and Eve had first sinned against God. Therein God promised that Satan's victory that day in getting Adam and Eve to sin against him was actually a hollow one, because one of her offspring would crush his head. In other words, he would deal him a fatal blow and achieve complete victory over him. God's plan had been set in motion, and no one, or nothing could derail it. The knowledge that this was all part of God's plan was very important for Christ's disciples because it helped them make sense of the cross, and it still does so today. To those looking on, the cross was a humiliating failure for Christ and his followers. Crucifixion was viewed as such a despicable thing, a death reserved for only the worst of criminals, that it was not mentioned in polite conversation. It was considered crude and offensive to do so. It really lowered the tone, as we might say. So it was only as the disciples, shocked and dazed by the events that followed, thought about their Last Supper with Christ that the fog of confusion began to disperse. It let them see that as opposed to the crucifixion being a crushing defeat for Christ, it was actually the means to the end of achieving a crushing defeat for Satan. It was so because during the Last Supper, Christ also revealed the purpose of the cross. In verses 26 to 28, it says, "Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" At this stage, it is believed that the Passover meal itself had finished when Jesus uttered these words, which, though familiar to most of us, are nonetheless strange and hard for us to understand. So let me attempt to clear away some of the mystery. In verse 28, Jesus mentioned a new covenant. And covenant is an important word in biblical terms. In Hebrew, the term for covenant refers to a binding relationship. And the Greek term used here is also translated as testament. And it points more to the legal or obligatory aspect of the covenant. In general terms, a covenant signifies a relationship between two parties that is based on commitment. It includes both promises and obligations that emphasize durability. The covenant relationship in view here is between God and mankind. And as this is alluded to as a new covenant, it indicates that it has replaced what preceded it. The old covenant under Moses bound God's people, the Israelites, to him and vice versa. They were to reserve worship for him alone and to live in accordance with the laws he had stipulated to Moses. In return, God promised to bless them in numerous ways. Most importantly, by adhering to the sacrificial system, God promised to forgive them their sins. But he also promised to punish them if they turned away from him. Here in this verse, we learn that Christ instituted a new covenant, a new binding relationship between God and his people. But his people would no longer be restricted to a set race of people. Here we learn that this covenant is for the many. But please note that it says many, not all. There is a belief called universalism which teaches that Christ died for the sins of all people. So that it matters not how they live, God will forgive them and welcome them into heaven. But that is not what is being taught here, because whilst Christ does use the word many, it has to be understood in the context of a covenant relationship. That is to say, a binding relationship based upon commitment. God's commitment to the covenant is, as Christ said, the forgiveness of sins. But that forgiveness is conditional upon us as people being committed to the relationship with God also. As such then, we are obliged to do certain things, the most crucial of which Christ refers to in these verses. In verse 26, when Christ had given thanks and broken the bread, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body." Bread, as you may know, was a staple part of the people's diet back then. It sustained their lives. So in essence, it gave them life. But in order for them to benefit from it, they had to eat it. Or to put it another way, they had to receive it. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, Jesus described himself as the bread of life, or the bread that gives life. So in reality, what Jesus was getting at here was that in order for people to receive the benefits of the new covenant, they had to receive him. They have to accept him. As such, they need to recognize their need of him. And, believing in the effectiveness of his sacrifice for sin, submit to his grace and lordship. After having done this, the Lord then took the cup of blessing used at the Passover meal and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins." The old covenant was confirmed by the blood of bulls and goats. This new covenant was confirmed by the blood of Christ. Under the old covenant, the blood of cattle, sheep and goats was shed to atone for sin. Under the new covenant, the blood of Christ was shed. Under the old covenant, the sacrifices had to be made daily, which emphasized the serious nature of sin. Under the new covenant, Christ made a once for all time sacrifice. And this too emphasizes the serious nature of sin, in that it took the sinless Son of God to shed his innocent blood to atone for sin. In the words of the hymn writer, "There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in." Christ told all of his disciples, without exception, to drink from the cup he gave them, which, as with eating the bread, means recognizing and receiving the benefits of it. As such, then, it means accepting that Christ shed his blood to purchase remission of sins for us, and that his blood alone can wash away our sin. It means accepting, or means casting aside, all notions or pretense of being acceptable to God by our own merits, and accepting that unless we receive Christ as our Saviour, there can be no pardon for sin and reconciliation between God and us. It means, quite simply, trusting in Christ alone for our salvation. So you see, when we do partake of the Lord's table, we are making a public statement that we are trusting in Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. It is a public statement that he is our Saviour as well as our Lord, that we have committed and submitted our lives to him, knowing that he will never fail us. Through the new covenant, pardon for sin is the great blessing conferred upon all true believers, and it is the foundation of all other blessings. And as we gather round the Lord's table, it also reminds us that one day, only because of what Christ has done for us, all who have accepted Christ as their Saviour will sit at the heavenly banquet table in the presence of our Lord, who will be our host forevermore. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what the sacrament of the Lord's Supper reminds us. We thank you, Lord, that Christ's death was not an accident, not a terrible miscarriage of justice, that Christ was not a hapless victim, but Lord, this was all planned, your great plan of salvation. We thank you, Lord, that Christ's blood was sufficient, is sufficient, to take away all of our sins when we trust in him. Lord, help us to be such people this day. Amen. And now for the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore. Amen.